the Lord comes. The Bible says the Lord sits in the presence. He sits. When we worship Him, He comes and sits over it. God loves it. And the time has come where those who will worship God will worship Him in spirit and in truth. See, sometimes you have to drag your body in worship. Right? Bless the wise, so downcast, oh my soul. Put your hope in God. Right? We sing it. All my hope is in you. All the glory is to God. So kingdom greetings to each one of you today. Kingdom greetings. Yeah. I told you, this is how they say good morning in heaven, right? And we cannot go. So this morning, I want to continue again, but I want to say welcome to all of our visitors. Welcome. Welcome, Laura. Welcome to Ryan's friends. Let's see, there's anybody else I'm missing? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, I tell you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, as I open the Bible, as we read it together, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and take what belongs to the Father and teach our heart. We want to learn from you. We want to learn from you, God. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for coming and dwelling with us. Thank you for, just like Aaron was saying, you know, you came in and saved us. Thank you for the blood that were used to sign the contract, the covenant. It's more than a contract, as a matter of fact. We have a covenant with you. So, Lord, we honor your word. We value the Bible. So speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, you said, amen. Amen. Awesome. So this morning, I'm going to try to see if I can control the screen with my iPad. Let's see if it fails me. You know, you never know. But I've been talking about understanding kingdom law of holiness and righteousness. This is a subject. I mean, I tell you, how can you can never stop talking about holiness. You know, the crazy thing is I'm finding out right now there's a lot of prophets and kingdom-minded preachers. God's just giving the same word. Remember, you are as safe as as your character. You are as safe as your character. You are as safe as your ethical, moral ethic. And God is a moral God. You know, God even fight. God boast about his character. God is the same. He said, I am the same yesterday, today. Help me out. I am the same today. Let's say that bit. God said that. He said, hey, you Israel, you don't understand. I am the same yesterday, today. So I want you to open your Bibles. We're going to read the word. Isaiah 43. Isaiah, you will find it in the Old Testament. If you don't know where it's at, just go back to the table of content. Or you could do like I'm doing right now. Just go through it. All right, take your time, just like I can't find it. You know where it's at, right? Before Psalm or after Psalm? See, the crazy thing is with those iPad things, I'm afraid to mess up my iPad. So Isaiah 43. On iPad, you just push the button. All right, you found it? Isaiah 43. It says, but O Israel, the Lord who created you says, I don't know which version you have. But it says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, you gods. Look at your neighbor. say, you gods. You belong to God. That's what God's saying. You mine. Like, this Bible's mine. It belongs to me. You can't have it. My ball. We went to, a couple weeks ago, we went to, Jim and I went to Fort Pickett. Kendra went Fort Pickett, and we were playing soccer with some of the refugees, go up there to help them out. Actually, I want to take another trip up there, but stay tuned. After we played soccer with the kids for like 2 hours, so we were taking our balls, I mean our soccer balls, and the kids were like, no, it's my ball. We're like, no, it's our ball. But man, they wanted the ball, so they wanted what they say, it's my ball. Hey, you gods, you belong to God. This is the word of the Lord. God says, you are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you can tell I forgot my eyes at home. So I'm really trying here. Maybe I should step back a little more. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I want you to underline that word in your Bible right there. The Holy One. God says, I am the Holy One of Israel. Your Savior. I give Egypt, Ethiopia, and Seba as a ransom for your freedom. Others died that you might live. I traded their lives for you because you are precious to me. Now, guys, would you accept? Man, I tell you, sometimes it's so hard for people to accept love. Even love from our Heavenly Father. Would you accept that God loves you? He cares. Would you just accept that? You know, because anybody that accept that, you don't have to fight with what the world's fighting with. Low self-esteem, low self-image. Where everybody wants everyone, remember, I talk about that all the time. Where everybody's looking for love elsewhere. But our Father God, He wants to love you, and He wants you to know that. He wants you to be assured of that. He says, I traded their lives for yours. You are honored. And I love you. This is a love letter from the Lord to us this morning. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you. And you and your children from east and west and from north and south, I will bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners to the earth. All who claim me as their God will come. See now. The other day I was thinking, I was like, man, I hope Dave Jr. would be here. I didn't know what to call. I didn't know if I should call you, but I figured, you know what? What I want to do, maybe Dave Sr. can help me. Because life is life made of principles. I'm talking about the holiness of God. Life is made of principles. So I was doing some research about principles, and I find out, I mean, a lot of people, they're afraid to fly. They're afraid of airplanes. As a matter of fact, I don't like airplane. There's a weird feeling about airplane. But they also say there's a lot more car accident than airplane crash. But then, on the other hand, when an airplane crashes, you know the result. So I said, man, if Dave Jr. is here, don't put the camera, all right, never mind. If Dave Jr. is here, I want to ask him about the principle to fly an airplane. I know that could be, you understand what I'm going for? Principle, because I want you to remember those principles. Because what I find out is, before you fly an airplane, you have a route, right? The tower gives you a route, right? So each airplane that's flying in the air, each of them has a route. Oh, here. You don't have to come up. You can come up. Come up here. Because I'm talking about principles. You know, I'm in Isaiah 43, okay? God is holy, but also God is the God of principles. Tell us, you as a pilot, what are some of the principles that make an airplane, I mean, as a pilot, what you have to stay, I don't even remember the wording, but...
Left is the most important.
Left is?
Left.
Oh, lift. Okay. So you work against the law of gravity.
Yeah. So you have lift, which works against gravity, and then you have thrust, which works against drag. There's four principles that are acting on an aircraft at any given time.
Okay. I'm pulling up my questions, all right?
And a fun
I'll
fact.
Tell you, I have no idea if you are coming, right?
Yeah.
So
fun fact, do you know why most people are afraid to fly?
Well, please tell us.
Yeah. Because they can't control it.
Because they can't control it.
They're out of control. They're giving control of their lives to somebody else in the airplane.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. So let's see. I'm finding my questions here. Because I wrote it down. Man, I should have called Dave. I was just like, I hope Dave is here. But what does... Okay, airplane. I found it. So you as a pilot, you obey certain principles to prevent collisions, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us some of those principles?
So you're always under radar contact unless you're crossing the ocean.
So listen to this.
Yeah.
He, as the pilot... He's always in contact with who?
With an air traffic controller. Unless we're over the ocean.
Okay, but you always have to stay in contact.
Yes.
With what if you don't want to?
I could retire early.
You see, that principle, if he violates it, if we happen to be on his aircraft, we are in trouble. Remember that. So, principle number... I mean, that's leader. So good. What's the FAA?
It's Federal Aviation Administration.
See, I was doing some research. I'm like... all right? Okay, the FAA.
They're the government body that writes regulations and oversees air traffic.
So then, the FAA laws are there... To make sure the flights are successful.
Yes.
The FAA laws are there to make sure that every flight. Do you know how many flights on the air right now? I mean, roughly.
We have just JetBlue alone has over 1,000 a day, and we're one of the smaller carriers. So currently, I mean, there's thousands of aircraft above us.
So would you say as a experienced pilot, the key to success in flying an airplane with 200 people is to follow order?
Yes. Follow rules, regulations, knowing your
rules,
trade.
Regulations, would you say principles?
Principles.
Okay. Well, put your hands together for me.
Experience.
Good stuff. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because seriously, I was just like, man, I need Dave. I need because you know I'm no pilot, you know. So it's like I'm trying to feeding my study in the next coming weeks with in order. Now let's go back. You won't forget what he said. Let's go back to Isaiah 43, verse 8. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind. Who have ears, but are deaf. Gather the nations together, which of their idols has ever foretold such things? See, which of our idols have ever foretold something such thing? God's saying. Can any of them predict something even a single day in advance? God's talking. Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witness, O Israel, says the Lord. And you are my servant. You have been chosen to know me. Intimacy. In this you see intimacy. You have been chosen to know me. Know the nature of God. Believe in me and understand that I alone am God. Those are words you should underline in your Bibles. I encourage you, when you go back this week, read Isaiah 43. Dwell in it. Meditate on it. Let the Lord speak to you through it. I alone am God. There is no other God.
Can I borrow your glasses? Because I'm really fighting it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is my lady's glasses. Please don't laugh. Oh, I can see a lot better.
But you are my witness, O Israel, says the Lord. And you are my servant. You've been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I am alone God. There is no other God. There never has been and never will be. Right there. That's what we said. God is the... So, yesterday, today, and forever. So, God is holy. You can read with me on the screen. 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's read it together. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made us of this plan to us by appearing to Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and eliminated the way to life and immorality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher. Now, you can stop right there. Then I say, God choose me to be a preacher and a teacher of this good news. And I would add, God choose you to be a voice to this good news. What is this good news? God is holy. Here's another verse. Psalm 139, verse 23. Let's read it together. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. You see, this is a good prayer. This is something all of us should every day think about. Lord, search me. You know, you can lie to everybody else. But yourself and God. God knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. Search me, O God, David said. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious way. Here's another verse. Let's keep reading. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read it together. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Following the example of Christ, he loves us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sin, no place among God's people. Are we God's people? All right, let's keep going. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Stop right there. You see, a lot of times we put emphasis on sexual sin, which is really bad. The Bible talks about sexual sin because when you do it, you sin against your and your sexual sins also affect a generation because you might have a kid that you weren't prepared for, you weren't ready for, or, you know, for instance, if people in power or in authority, people of influence, you know, there's a scandal, that might cause a lot of damage. So sexual sin is terrible. But I tell you, one of the demon I see here in America, it's everywhere, actually, I should say. And people sometimes, they don't pay attention to it. It's greed. Want more. I prayed this over myself. I said, Lord, please keep my radar hot against greed. Idolatry. Want more. You know, you're always buying things. Something I start doing with myself now, it's like when I want to buy something, I ask, do I want it? Do I need it? I kind of want it, but I keep asking myself, do I need it? Do I need it? Do I need it? Do I need it? And then the more I ask myself, do I need it? Okay. Can I do without it? When I realize I don't need it, now if I need it, yeah, let's go for it. Greed. Because when people are greedy, you put yourself in debt. I mean, some people, they can hardly sleep because they have to work hard to pay all the debts. You think it's the will of the Lord for people to be buried in debt? It's not. But, you know, the spirit of greed drag people in debt when people cannot satisfy with what you have. Now, there's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong, okay? It's if you can afford something, go for it. If you know, live life, okay? Live life to its fullness. Make yourself pretty. All right? Enjoy something you can afford. But I'm talking about the spirit of greed. I mean, even the whole Black Friday thing is the spirit of greed is behind it. Do you know now Black Friday starts right now? You can cut that for a commercial. Black Friday starts right now. Don't wait. That's it. Don't wait. I remember back in 2007, when scooters just started to come out. You know, the scooters for the kids. I mean, those things were like $300. First time I went to Black Friday. Well, that was an exciting thing because I wanted to buy scooters for my kids. But I figured, man, buying two, that's $600, can't do that. So I find out you can buy them for $50 on Black Friday. The first, but it was Black Friday. I bought two. But it was miserable. It was cold, you know. But now you don't have to wait. The sale starts right now. You don't have to brave the cold anymore. You don't have to go camp by Best Buy for the deal. The deal starts right now. But the spirit of greed, blind people, they can't see. Do you need it? So watch for greed. But it says, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Use the things of this world. Don't worship them. Don't worship him. That's why we ask God, Psalm 139, examine, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, Lord. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobeyed him. Don't participate in things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. Amen? So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. You see, we're losing that. People don't think like that anymore. I pray for each one of us here that you would carefully think, what is pleasing God? We sing it. In all I do, I honor you. in all I do, is that pleasing God? All I do. That's why you will understand when I say God in Isaiah, God says, I am the holy one. I am the only holy God. When you study the word holy, it means one. It means character. That's why God says, I am the one, the same yesterday. I am the same today. I am the same forever. Character, you remember? I should come back with my sermon again. I preach on character when I first arrived here. You remember? Me and Aaron, we do have something, right? Statue. I mean, in this writing here, number 5, Ephesians 5. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, 5 will always look like this. Unless Chinese writing kind of... But they still notice it's 5. See, 5, the letter 5, the number 5, is a character. God is character. Let's keep reading. It says, "Care of determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." We pray. Kendra and I, we pray this. We pray this for our children. We pray this for God's church here. We pray that the Lord will give you boldness. Boldness. Boldness to stand. In this world right now, fear is everywhere. But we ask the Lord that He will give you boldness. He will give you conviction. You know what you believe. Fight for what you believe. It says, take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. You see, you shouldn't have a secret life. Think about it. My life is public. Because I should be the same person at midnight, 4 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, whether I'm at church, whether I'm at home, whether I'm playing games, whatever I'm doing, I should be the same person. So if you have a private life and a public life, there's a problem. Because holiness, God's calling us to live a holy life. Oh, this is God's word, right? Ephesians chapter 5. But their evil intention will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light awake, it says, for the light makes everything visible. This is what it says. Awake, O sleepers. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Jesus is the light of the world. Leviticus 20, verse 26, it says, you must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own. Listen to that. You must be holy in all you do. I like verse 27, as a matter of fact. It says, men and women among you who cast as mediums, call out spirits, or who consult the spirits of the dead must be put to death by stoning. They're guilty of a capital offense. It's not good. Watch it. We God people do not take part in those things. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, let us all read this together. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Stop right there. So now, if I ask you what kind of sacrifice God would accept, what would you tell me according to that verse? Living and holy. See, your body, living meaning someone who's living in the light. Someone is always, you don't have double face. You're not a hypocrite, but hypocrite, okay? Hypocrite. But I just like the sound hypocrite. But hypocrite, you're not a hypocrite. If there was one thing I would hate is a hypocrite. Because a hypocrite, you know, they pretend everything is fine. When you're back, they're talking about you. We shouldn't be like that. There shouldn't be anything like that among God's people. And are we God's people? Yes, we are God's people. So therefore, I live according to the principles. I won't touch the principles this Sunday. But remember the story of the airplane flight. You see, if Dave doesn't stay in constant contact with the tower, it's chaos. You see, the problem with us believers, we lost heavenly contact. See, our mind, we think earthly. We see everything from an earthly perspective, when really we should have a kingdom perspective. See, when he flies the plane, he's got a tower.
He's got a tower perspective. I mean, his perspective,
everything. As a matter of fact, before you get there, you already know. I mean, the airplane already programmed to get there, right? Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and custom of this world. You know what that means? That means we are citizens of heaven. We do have our own customs. We do have our own ways. You see, the problem is religion spoiled it for us. Religion kills it. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I tell you, the most free person on earth is a person who is filled with the Spirit. Because the Bible says, well, I can do everything, but I'm not going to let anything make me become their slaves. I could decide to smoke a cigar tonight. Yeah. I'm not going to sin if I smoke a cigar. It might not be good for my lungs. This is it. But then if I put a bunch of rules, don't eat this, don't do this, don't dress like that, don't dance like that. Now, you know what? The drum is evil. The guitar is evil. You know, when you come to church, everybody's got to be like. That's so boring. Jesus is fun. Jesus is life. Jesus is joy, man. I mean, tell me about it, guys. Let's see if you would owe, I mean, some of us, we owe a couple hundred thousand on our houses. And somehow, the bank will come. Mr. Francois, man, today I got good news for you, man. I want to tell you, me and the bank, the people that are up there, we decided we're going to eliminate that debt. Today, the house is yours. Here's your paper, sign it up. What would I do? I tell you guys. Hey, what would I do? Oh, I'll throw a party. I'd invite all of you. I'll talk about it. That's what Jesus did for us. He eliminated the debt of our sins. Now I could live freely. I could be free from the law of sins. And he became sin who knew no sin. We sang it earlier. That we might become his righteousness. It's a lot easier for people to say, oh, I'm messed up. My life is messed up. But you know you've been justified by the cross, by the blood of the Lamb. You've been justified. I am free to dance. I am free to lift up my hands. That's why I tell you guys, when we worship here, blow the box, please. Blow the box. If you feel free to raise your hands, you don't have. I mean, if you feel doing worship, you got to be like this. Well, have at it. But I'm just telling you. When the music, it might get loud. Come on. Why can't I praise him as loud as I want? Why can't I praise him as loud as I want? Why can't I? I should be able to. The old earth is singing praises to the Lord. The trees, they're doing this. They're giving praise to God. Why shouldn't I? Well, I am going to. Ain't let nobody stop me. Ain't let nobody stop. Is there a song like that? There might be. There might be a song. There's a song for everything, I tell you. Do not copy the behavior and the custom of this world. So therefore, I got to know the behavior and I got to know how to behave. The principle of the kingdom. More than ever, we need to read the Bible. Read your Bible. Fall in love with with the Word of God. Read the Bible. Not only read it, do what it says. Because if you read it, you do not apply it in your life. You don't live according to what's in here. You won't succeed. There won't be any success in your spiritual life. But read the Bible and do what it says. And you will experience joy. You will be refreshed. Oh, I love God's word, I tell you. Talking about holiness, I'm like, there's no other way to find out what holiness is beside in the word of the Lord. Don't copy the behavior of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See? It's okay. It's okay. I've learned from Bernie. When I first got here, first time I've heard somebody said it, and I remember it's been 2 years, the 7 words of a dying church. Oh, we've never done it like this before. 7 words of a dying church. We have never done it like this before. 8? All right, 8 words. Something like that, right, Bernie? Something like that, right? We've never done it like this before. See, that's why you can't put God in a box. He might change your thoughts. But one thing that will never change, God is holy. One thing that will never change, that all who call on the name of the Lord must be holy. You see that? See, I don't care. You want to cover your head, cover it. You want to shave your head, shave it. Go ahead. You don't want to wear pants, well, have at it. I know some people from Haiti, even some of my aunts. Religiously, when I was growing up, they said wearing pants, some of the ladies in Haiti, it was like the bad ladies were wearing pants. There's somewhere in the Bible, there's a big argument, pants is men's clothing. I know some of those ladies right now, they're living in New Jersey, they're still not wearing pants and they're so freezing. Sometimes I go up there, I'm like, oh God, set them free. Religion will do that to you. Isn't that crazy? Religion will do that to you. But guess what? If you feel like wearing pants is not good for you, well, don't wear it. I'm not going to condemn you. That's fine. You see the freedom? You see the balance? One thing that I know that will never change. God is holy, and He's calling us to live a holy life. So some of the things we argue on and we think, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. Well, you don't like potatoes? Well, don't eat it. You know? But I don't think if you eat potatoes, you're going to sin. Mark chapter 7, remember that in our home group? Mark chapter 7, it's not the things that we eat that set us apart or in the position to praise or to worship God. It's our heart's condition. Amen? Oh, good stuff. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, let's all of us read it together. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the way through Christ Jesus is death, but the free gift, God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, can I have a witness? Amen. This is the word of the Lord, man. I tell you. But now you are free from the power of sin. And you have become slaves. Slaves of God. Now remember, the word slaves is kind of everybody right now in our culture would be like, slaves? Who wants to be a slave? That's not the context. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I'm not calling you servants. I'm your friend. The idea right here is I surrender my will to righteousness. I surrender my right to live for myself. God is holy. The nature of God is righteousness. You see, I told you God is character. God boasted about his nature. When God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's telling us about his character. That is why we can trust him. A person of character, you can trust him. Because we'll understand that this person, when they say something, they mean it. I tell you, it takes years to build trust, right? In just one afternoon, you can break the trust. And it takes a lot to rebuild trust. That's why when you're married, even if there are issues, you fix it, right? The more you keep fixing things, the more trust built, you know? God is holy. Holy. The root word I told you in Hebrew means integrity. It means one. It means character. God never changed. Holiness means that you are integrated. You are not more than one person. You're not a different person on Monday, and then Sunday morning, here you're a different person. Holiness means you're the same person whether you're sleeping, you're awake, at home, at work. You're the same person. That's what it means. If you could remember this, what is holiness? Holiness means I'm one. I'm the same person. Behind doors, with everybody, at work, I'm the same person. I was teaching this week at the ministry school on spiritual growth. And I realized one of the reasons holiness has become a very offensive subject in the church is because people don't like to hear about sin. See, now, if all of us here are living a right life with God, if we are at peace with the Lord, when I hear somebody talking about someone, a robber or a thief, I'm like, yeah, that's not right, but I don't feel guilty. But I bet you if I'd be a cheater and I go somewhere, people are talking about cheating and I'm not willing to change, I either live or I'd hate that person. Why? Because truth sounds like hate to those who doesn't want to hear it. If I don't want to hear it, if I'm not willing to change, then I think, well, you hate me. And especially now in our society, nobody wants to have a debate. Nobody wants to talk about, well, let's talk about it. Because you think different, because you see it different, that doesn't mean we should be enemies. Isn't that crazy? See, now that's what brings division in the church. We think, well, this church, everybody dressed like that. That church over there, everybody dressed like that. When we're not looking at the real issue. Remember this. You should be holy in all you do. You're not a multi-personality. Some people are good at that. Multi-personality. We as God people shouldn't be like that. The foundation of trust is integrity. When you are one person, people will eventually trust you. You know, that's why it hurts. It's so painful when you knew somebody you trust and when they betrayed your trust. Oh, man, that's painful, right? All of us experience that. I have experienced that even recently with some of my guys in Haiti. It's a tough one. That's why for you, I'll encourage you this morning. Be trustworthy. Even if everybody's going to be like that, be trustworthy. As a pastor, when people talk to me, if they don't tell me to tell Kendra, I don't tell Kendra. What you tell me stays with me. Unless you say, you can talk to your wife. Why? Because you trust me. And I should keep that trust. But the moment I start talking, oh man, you know word goes around, right? Don't they? Holiness has nothing to do with long dresses or the way you wear your stuff. You know, and I'm going to stop here, and I'll ask the worship team to come up. And, you know, that's a very touchy subject. And this morning, right now, you might be, your life might be right. Or you might feel like, you know, there are places you need to make adjustment. And if that's the case, and I'm encouraging you guys, and this morning, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to be playing the drum. I want to stay up here to pray for you. I'm going to stay up here. If anybody wants prayer, I want you to step forward. You know, give an answer to God's word this morning. Make adjustment. Come to the altar and allow the Lord to minister to you. Thank you. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I sow it. I spread it. And their hearts is the ground receiving it. I trust your Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done. In Jesus' name.